Good morning. Welcome to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. Sunday morning.
Ho, ho, ho. Gone, gone, gone.
Santa Claus has come and gone.
We do hope that you had a merry, very Christmas for those of you that celebrate Christmas and all the other holidays for all the other religions around this time of year.
Right? I'm trying to figure
out. I'm
not
even going there.
I'm trying to figure out what TJ's shirt means.
Hoth.
From Star Wars.
Oh.
It's a Star Wars short.
All right.
Short.
You look nice, though, man. He's got his sweater on. Says Hoth, sweet Hoth. I'm just not in tune to the knowledge of shame on me. I should. I need to be better at Star Wars. Dang it. Did you know what it meant?
No.
Okay. Honesty is a virtue.
So,
it is a virtue.
No, I never watched Star Wars too often.
I don't know, but we're coming off Christmas holiday. I know you're probably. I think you were reveling in the excitement of having Frank Lott on our show.
That is.
Is that what you're doing?
This is the first of two back-to-back shows with Frank Lott. I think some of our other guys are little jelly.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I think he has two really important topics to talk about. A, you mentioned he's a production-type builder, similar to Clark Stewart from Eastwood Homes. But he hails from the Alabama market. Is it Mobile, Alabama? Mm-hmm. Southern Alabama.
That's correct.
Okay, cool. I want to ask him when he comes on the show. I know he's familiar with this. A while back, during the middle of the pandemic, we had the opportunity to socially distance and go on a 40th birthday party to Fair Hope, Alabama. And they had something there. They have something in that area that I think he'll be familiar with called a Jubilee. Have you ever heard of this before?
You said something about it month or so ago.
And I was not an expert. I'm sure he will be hailing from that area. But it came up again this weekend. We were talking about fishing, of course, or something along those lines. And my dad was saying back in when he was a kid, they would go out to the Morehead City area. And that flounder, you know, there's a season for flounder now. Scarlett had caught a flounder over the weekend, and we threw it back. And he said the flounder would get so deep that they would literally be like a foot deep on top of each other across the bottom of that particular area in the river. Can you imagine that? I mean, there's that many of them that they would start to stack on top of each other. And now there's kind of a little bit of issue, and that's where that Jubilee came up. So
there's an issue. Too much flounder?
I think there's not
flounder?
Enough now, but then there were obviously too much. But
that was when you could find good shark. Everything was good back in the day.
It was.
I don't know if it's all myth or...
I know. Or we just know
there's
everything.
There's no way in 40 years all this Sharks 2's got taken.
Right. And then
flounders are not stacking.
What's next, TJ?
The Jubilees aren't partying. Well, hey, that's true. COVID did shut all that down. Parties are done.
They're done.
Well, we're going to get back in it.
I think so.
But Frank's good, great. He runs a family business. Great guy in the construction industry. And then the following week, he is the current chapter chair for the YPO Southern
right.
7. We have all these YPO Young Presidents Organization folks on here. He is our chapter chair. And we're going to talk about servant leadership and all that and all the value that having a network of peers and laddering and those terms. So,
yeah.
2 weeks in a row, you got to listen.
Well, but I think it's important. I mean, if you're interested in YPO, you can obviously listen in the show and learn more about it. But really, with any kind of group that you're involved in, I think it's a good opportunity. Yeah, I mean, we always talk about, even when you and I were real involved with NARI, you'd always have the person that would join at the beginning of the year all gung-ho, and then they wouldn't renew their membership. And the first question that they come to, well, man, I didn't really get anything out of it. And it's like, well, what did you really put into it? And you get a blank answer.
It's with at all levels of peer-to-peer networking and accountability. You got to give to receive. And
right.
You can tell that person till you're blue in the face, hey, you got to put your foot out there and get going. And then it's going to take a while, and then it'll come back. And they go, yeah. And then they get busy in their life and their business, and they don't do it, and they didn't get the value.
That's it. I mean, it's just like, I mean, coming off the Christmas holiday, those that celebrate Christmas, I mean, I think that most people get more joy on when they give somebody a present on their reaction versus when they get something. And it's the same thing.
So I'm going to give a shout-out to Bart Noon and West Boulevard Ministries. I think he's doing wonderful things. We had a toy drive at Roby. I'm talking to Bart. He's got a whole living room at the Gracie's house, the house he built.
And the garage.
Old Steel Creek Road.
Yep.
Gave away tons of bikes, everything. And I'm talking to him, and he says, I took these young men. I think 10 to 12 year old, 14 year old boys, adolescents, young teenagers. He took them shopping and gave them all $30 to buy their mom or their grandmother something for Christmas. And they're going, he said, they're going, Mr. Bart, what about, I want a toy. And he's like, no, you're going to learn the value of giving, paying it forward, making somebody else feel good. And I thought that, man, that's how you change an aircraft carrier. You build them up like that in the community, and it grows. And it's a long-term proposition. But,
sure,
man, and that is, it made me feel so good. Reagan and I were talking about it the other night, and it's awesome. No, I'm a big fan.
No,
but it ties in with the holidays.
It's 100% makes sense. I mean, I did not know he was doing that, and we talked about having him on the show again soon. I mean, this would be a great time to have him around the holidays. We'll keep that in mind. Bart Noonan for next Christmas. You are on, buddy.
Next Christmas, yeah.
But
we'll have you in 48 episodes.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Hopefully he can come into the studio.
If we're still here. Yeah. Hopefully we're still here.
Yeah. I think we will be.
You think so?
I think things are going to be good.
Saying we like this?
TJ, you were giving TJ a funny look when he said that, and he was like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah, no.
There's no hidden
undercurrent.
Well,
there's
not
an undertow.
Tee us up, Frank.
We got Frank Lott. He is the president of Heritage Homes, and it's a family business. I think they build about 300, 400 homes a year down in the southeastern U.S. above Florida. So I can't wait to hear more and learn more about Frank's business when we return. You're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. If you missed the first segment, go back. Obviously, a couple days after Christmas, everybody, I guess, now starting to think about New Year's, Trent.
Oh, gosh.
We didn't talk about another
opportunity to not have a party? Jeez Louise.
Yeah. All the gyms are saying, please let us open on January 1. Please let us open on January 1. Because I have a feeling a lot of people, that's going to be the resolution. The COVID is like the 15-pound gain excuse, right?
Oh, really?
I think so.
Put it on the governor.
Put it on somebody.
The president or something.
Accountability is out the window.
No. Hey, Frank. How you doing, man?
How y'all doing today?
We are doing great. I hope you are.
Yes, yeah, great. It's good Monday.
It is. Yeah, we're recording on a Monday. Ha!
Got him! No, it's all good.
So ask Frank about the Jubilee.
Yeah. So Frank, so we talked about this. I went. My sister-in-law, who hails from Auburn, and you had mentioned the break that you are an Alabama fan. So we won't go there. But we were in Fairhope, which is real close to where your headquarters is in Mobile, and we were at a little campfire, and the guy that was doing it kept stomping on the shoreline, and minnows were jumping out. And finally, I went over. I'm like, "What are you doing?" And he tried to explain to me what a Jubilee was. I tried to talk about it on the show, but it's a really cool phenomenon that really only takes place in that area and one other part of the country. Can you tell us a little bit about this since we brought up on the first segment?
Yeah, sure. It's really pretty cool and amazing, and I'm not sure that they know exactly why, other than the fact that it has something to do with the oxygen level in the water in bays that are brackish, you know, where we have semi-fresh and semi-salt. So it's actually somewhere else in the world, like it's somewhere in a bay over in Asia somewhere.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So basically the fish just come into the shallow waters and kind of get really lethargic. And it's not all fish. So like it doesn't affect several different species, like drums or redfish aren't affected, sharks aren't affected. It's flounder, crabs, eels, and they come and just pile in up on the shore, especially a big one. And, you know, you could go scoop crabs or gig flounder or whatever until, you know, sometime in the middle of the night until right after the sun comes up, things start kind of being able to swim back off or go back off. It's cool, but it's crazy.
And it's just one night a year?
No. I mean, it could be, Trent, it could be like, I mean, you could have a couple in a week, or you could have one and not have another one for a couple of months. I mean, that's the part that they're not really exactly sure But the people that have been around for a long time say that there are some factors you can start seeing. Like you start seeing the stuff swimming closer. There are other little factors that they kind of say, I think we're about to have a Jubilee, or I think there'll be a Jubilee tonight. And I mean, the stories go when we were kids, people that were living over in Point Clear, which is just south of Fairhope, and there's a boardwalk, like a public sidewalk, boardwalk along the bay.
Yep.
And in the middle of the night, you know, you would be woken up by somebody screaming, running down, screaming Jubilee, you know, and everybody you know, pours out of their houses in the middle of the night to go take advantage of what it has to offer.
Man, that doesn't happen on the Great Catawba over here on the west side of Charlotte. No. But that sounds
it's
fun.
It's really cool, and it's something we kind of take for granted maybe a little bit just because. But I still say that a lot of people, because you have to be ready for it and you have to have access to the bay, that even live in this area, everybody knows about it, but a lot of people hadn't taken advantage of it, you know, because it really, by the time, you know, not long after the sun comes up, it's over with.
Dang. So if you're not a night owl, you might not even be in the Jubilee conversations.
That's correct.
We would know about the Jubilee, Frank. Patrick does.
That's it. No, it was, I was fascinated.
That's correct.
He's like, so Frank, let's switch gears. You graduated college in 99 from Alabama, the Crimson Tide, and shortly thereafter, I'll let you talk about it. You know, Heritage Homes, I think it's a family business. But I saw on there you were the chapter chair for the local Home Builders Association.
Dang. Trent, aren't you the local chair? Yeah. You were.
I was. Years ago.
You know, Trent, like a lot of towns, size of Mobile, we, us home builders had to all take our turn at it. And yeah, so I was the chair of the Home Builder Association, which is a pretty big honor to represent your peers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I don't even know what year that was. I served 10 straight years on the board.
Yeah.
And, it's really, I mean, we have a really strong group of contractors here that stick together. And, it was a lot of fun. It was certainly a lot of fun.
We talk about that.
Lots of change in my industry.
I mean, we talk about that. We, you know, we do a lot of remodeling in our business. So, both Patrick and I, now our COO currently, is the chair of our local NARI, which is National Association for Remodeling Industry. And then yeah. I went on Matt Young, who actually runs our commercial services business on that side. Is on the board of the HBA GC Greater Charlotte, and I was I did about a 10-year run on that as well, and I was the president for a 2-year run a couple years back. But we're all about peer to peer leadership, and it'll tie in next week when we have you talking about serving as the chapter chair for YPO. But I just think that's awesome, man. I love how we're aligned in that thought. That as a home builder, you need to get out there and be buddies and comrades with your peers and lead with them as well locally. So that's great.
No, I totally agree with that. It was a good experience. And then after that, I chaired our Chamber of Commerce. And it's the same sort of deal, even though it was multi-industry and a lot more economic development. It was the same sort of thing. It was building those relationships, you know, which is important for me. And I really think that the business has seen some fruit from it as well. So.
Well, you're not just – you're talking about serving for the Mobile area, but your business heritage, y'all also are in South – I mean, you're Mississippi and Florida as well, right?
Yeah, it's coastal Alabama, Florida, and Mississippi. And so basically all the way to the Louisiana line and then a couple of counties into Florida and, you know, maybe about 100 miles off the coast. And we build mostly, you know, kind of entry-level, first house, last house kind of homes and all over, you know, a lot of dirt roads, a lot of country roads, and then a lot of infill stuff as well.
So do you know how to swing a hammer?
I used to.
Nobody knows how to swing a hammer anymore, do they?
Man, it's a different deal now. When I started, you know, over 20 years ago now, you know, our superintendents, their trucks were full of tools, you know, and they got to the job site and they strapped on a tool belt. And now these guys are managers, you know.
They got
more
iPads.
They get out of the truck with an iPad now.
Yep.
That's right. So your business, it is a family business, is that correct?
Yeah, it's a family business. My family was in the building products business locally in Mobile for a long time. We had a had a truss plant and wall panel plant. Mm. We had a millwork business, built wood windows way back in the day.
Dang.
And so they spun. My dad started this business in 1983, mainly as a way to try to sell some trusses and millwork. Yeah. because
sell to yourself.
Like, you know, and so they were trying to build their way out of it, and we just kind of grew up from there.
That's vertical integration at its finest, isn't it?
Honey, we had the best sales month of our career.
Yeah, baby, we built two houses last year.
They're all in the garage. No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. That's goodness. A great story, man. I like hearing that. Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your guests. We're here with Frank Lott from Heritage Homes out of Mobile, Alabama.
Captain. Our first shipbuilder guest in 5 years.
He was like, hey, guys, it's not really that interesting, but my family was in. No, you didn't say that.
I'm like, man, this is perfect radio.
That's awesome. So we had to go to a break. If you were listening and kind of captivated like Trent and I both were, Frank, you were talking about your family business started out building ships for World War II?
Well, I'll say this. They were fitting ships.
Fitting,
right?
Sorry, my
they
bad.
They were building ships. You know, we're on a coastal town down here in the
Heck
port.
Yeah.
And so we rely on that port. We build ships here now. They build Navy ships with a couple of big companies. But they were building ships, and then my family was fitting them out, you know, building cabinets and beds and all that on the inside after the boats were built. And when that kind of came to a halt, they had the shop set up down by the port and just kind of transitioned into millworks, building, you know, just running trim and wood windows mostly at first, and then went from there. I've got some in my house. I've got some juniper that was on the floor that they would attach those big old machines to because it was harder than pine. So when they were, you know, rattle when they were cutting the wood, that they, you know, they wouldn't come unattached.
I mean, I think you're the first wood window builder we've ever had on the show, too.
Agreed.
I mean, you know, now everything's clad and all that. We do really high-end custom remodels and historical houses and stuff. So we still build a fair amount or have built. We don't build them in-house. Wood windows, I think that is a lost art.
It's definitely a lost art. I mean, I've done some of those older houses here and there, and you can find some, but it's hard to pass up now if you have a clad window, how well they work. And, of course, we use all vinyl windows in our houses now, which is really cool product, too, on the entry level.
It is. Yeah, I built a pretty decent in-spec house for our company, and we use vinyl window. Yeah. I was impressed with the value that a vinyl window is. I mean, I think these technologies, you got to embrace them as they come along, and they create value, energy efficient. You know, they don't ever rot. They're easy to use.
Yeah,
you can fold
them in. Efficient. I mean, once you get them taped in and, you know, they're there for good, they don't have any air infiltration. It's a good product. And they make them in casement windows now. You can, you know, roll them out and roll them in like an old style, school style window.
That's,
I mean,
cool.
It's a good product.
So Frank, you're in high school. Did you work in the business? Did you work in the millwork shop or in the trust shop?
I worked in the home building portion of it in high school when, you know, mainly when I had to. You know, I was trying to do things like work on the dock of a marina and on a fishing boat, whatever I could do, waiting tables. But I definitely worked in it. You know, one Christmas break after my first semester, my freshman year, my dad woke me up and told me I was going to work with a framing crew. And I got there in the morning. They made me move a whole pile of lumber from the front yard to the backyard. And then we broke for lunch. And the lead carpenter told me he wanted me to move that pile back to the front yard. And that's when I realized I need to finish school and try not to be on that side of it anymore.
You think he was messing with you, or there was a rhyme to the reason?
No, he was messing with me. He was messing with it. Use that one. It works.
He said
that gets it. Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, man. My very first job I had at school, they told me to go see Stacy in the warehouse, and I walked around looking for a lady named Stacy, and then I found a guy whose name was Stacy, and he said, "I'm Stacy." He said, "Go unload those two trucks over there." That tells you whether or not you're going to work or not, for sure. That's a good way to do it.
Yeah, it's no fun.
We always talk, Patrick and I always talk about, you can watch somebody get out of his truck and walk to the door, and by that you can tell how somebody's going to produce.
How they walk, you know, their demeanor getting out. I mean, you really can tell a lot, or how they keep their truck, too, is another way to tell.
100%.
You know, it's just it makes you nervous when you see somebody that's got clutter everywhere. It makes me nervous, at least. So we
talk about that with our superintendents. You know, if you pull up on somebody's, you know, job site and they're going to build their home there, and your truck has got a dent in it and it's muddy and the back of it's got stuff and trash everywhere,
McDonald's bags on the visor, yeah,
they're not going to trust you from the get-go. You know, you got a whole lot harder to get that trust than if you just show up put together.
I agree completely. That's a business lesson of the day, right?
Agreed.
I mean, you see a lot of contractors with messy trucks. You go, "Oh, this guy,
you own sure. it.
Wonder if he measures twice and cuts once." I don't know.
What's that old saying, you only get one chance to make a first impression? Is that right?
Yeah, that's fair.
So you graduated, you went to Alabama. Did you play sports? You're a pretty good athletic guy. Played quarterback football
in high school. I did in high school. I did, but no. When I went to Alabama, I was a student.
There you go.
All in all,
you
it
had
was
to
a good
think...
experience. I almost went up there. I was very close to going to Hampton, Sydney.
And I
backed out at that last minute. I was going to room with our YPOer. Our friend Sam Bell, who passed away, was going to be my roommate, and I backed out on him at the last minute, like late May or June, and just said I couldn't do it, and went to Alabama, stayed there for 4 years. And I was one of those guys that took my last exam on a Friday in Tuscaloosa and started work on a Monday.
There you go.
I don't have any those good stories like I moved to Telluride or something like that, you know. I finished school and started working.
We have plenty of shows for Rob Krause and that crew. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. So you knew.
Yeah, I'm jealous of that now.
Yeah.
You can't even go back and do that.
Right.
You know? But
I was a Friday and a Saturday guy. Friday and then working on Saturday. So you knew you were going to come into the family business?
No, really, Trent, I didn't. I didn't want to, really. And my dad is a pretty wise guy and really fair. And I applied, took the LSAT and thought I was going to go to law school. Really, it was going to be a way for me to stay in Tuscaloosa, I think. But my dad talked to me and he said, "Look, I'm not hiring you to build houses. You know, I'm hiring you to come down here and run a business that happens to build houses. And I think you've got the right skill set." And, God, I'm so glad. I'm glad I'm not writing briefs or whatever other documents or whatever that lawyers do. I'm glad I'm down here running a small business. There's a lot of benefits to it, of course.
Well, your dad has to be proud in your 21 years at the helm of the business, coming down there to run a business that happens to build houses. What have you implemented on that business for growth or evolution?
I mean, you know, when I started, we were building in two counties down here in South Alabama, and so we've grown through Alabama, Florida, and Mississippi. And yeah, you know, we were on house number 750 when I started, and we'll hit house 5,000 this year. So
wow,
it's been rapid growth and a lot of fun. You know, we have a lot of folks that have been here longer than me. Still, you know, they're working. Our sales manager, vice president of sales, and vice president of construction both are tenured longer than me, which is really, really neat part of kind of who we are.
Well, and you're in a beautiful part of the country that maybe a lot of folks from our area aren't familiar with. I mean, when you get down to the Gulf area, I mean, people might be familiar with Destin, Panama City, that place, those kind of places. But there's some beauty in southern Alabama and southern Mississippi. We saw it firsthand. You're very fortunate to be there.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, you know, we have a smaller bit of coast, you know, of Gulf Coast, but, you know, beautiful beaches, great, not so crowded, and then you know, areas like Fairhope on Mobile Bay, they're quaint little towns.
Yeah, with, very cool place.
Yeah, you know, really good restaurants, really good people, and it's a neat spot. And, you know, the weather stays pretty nice all year. You know, we don't have too much, too much cold. And in my industry, that's good because we can build, you know, all year.
Yeah, that always says you're not making money in the rain. what an awesome story. I'll tell you, Frank, I'm going to compliment you before we roll out here. I do want to ask you one question before you go. And thanks for coming back on next week and talking about a different subject, which is servant leadership. But I will compliment you. You take a lot of pride. You say you build entry-level home and last level, and building these quality homes, affordability, livability, and the pride that you take in that and providing this housing, it emulates, it kind of 100% aligns with your character, which I'm so impressed and is impeccable. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you for saying that, Trent. I appreciate it. We've got a great business and a good group of people that do it.
Well, you lead that way. Okay, put you on the spot. What is one business lesson of the day that you live by for our audience?
You know, what I always say to people is it's a lot easier to be honest the first time. You know, tell the truth the first time. You know, you if you don't tell the whole truth the first time, you're going to be digging out of it. So whether I'm dealing with my employees or customers, you got to tell the truth even if it's difficult the first time.
Man, that's a good one. Well, how can people look you up, Frank?
We're heritagehomesfamily.com. We're working right now on a whole new website, and so it's going to be really cool rollout after the first year that we've been working on this thing since COVID started. And heritagehomesfamily.com, we have an office in Mobile, Pensacola, and Gulfport.
There you go, man. Frank wow. Lott, heritagehomesfamily.com, Heritage Homes. Thanks for being here. Look forward to having you on next week as well, buddy. Have a good day.
Thank you. Thank
you.
All
right. You're listening to At Home with Roby when we return.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. Wow, just finished up with Frank Lott on his first appearance on the At Home with Roby show. Of course, we're having him back next week. We mentioned that a little bit there that we're going to talk about YPO and networking. Should be pretty cool. But Trent, he left us with some pretty good information. Tell the truth first.
First.
He did mention that.
Not after you get your butt burned.
What I meant to say was,
I made a promise to my wife. I pride myself on telling the truth, and I, you know, we're human. We all fall short in areas, and you know, have you left the office? Yeah, I left 10 minutes ago, and you're still sitting there talking to Patrick.
Yeah.
I've done that a couple times.
Never done that.
You know, all these white lies, and where are you at? And then she'll tell me the next road sign or something.
Dang, she's good.
She's
good.
On top of, well, she's got Find My iPhone on
yeah.
tilt. So anyway, I made an oath to my wife late December, a couple weeks ago, that I would really, number one, I'm working on my cursing. But that's not a truth thing. That's just some people say I'm in the construction business. You got to have a little edge and throw a curse word out every now and then. I disagree. I think it undermines my ethics, my religious. I don't want to send the wrong signals. But number two, I told my wife, I said, I promise you I will call myself out. I will not. White lies lead to bigger lies, which lead to other lies. And then you got to get out of the bag. And I will really work on that. And she thinks that's cool.
So is the swear jar making a reappearance at the Haston home?
It's just a fact.
I got it.
I told him I wasn't playing none of these games. My kids were in the room when we were talking about it. I said, hold me accountable. Oh, you got to give a dollar. Oh. I said, no, I'm going to mess up. I get carried away. I get excited. I grew up in the field with the homies, and curse words were rampant. I was impressionable, so some of it's stamped in my head, which I love that I got to grow up with that culture and its expression. But I want to improve, and coming up on a new year, I think it's just a resolution. But the lying thing, I mean, it's the white lies that lead to the bigger lies. And I was talking about our business. Reagan and I were talking about our business and talking about how you can't never hide something or lie about something because it leads to bigger things and yada, yada, yada. And she said, hey, she said, that's why I love you so much. It's like, dang.
So was she telling the truth, or was it a white lie?
I think...
A Jesse's t-shirt. I'm just kidding. No, I'm just joking. I think Edie mentioned the swearing thing. We have a commercial superintendent named Chris Gibson, who's just a wonderful, wonderful man. Really, he's our production leader on the commercial construction side. And, you know, I'm with you. You get in these meetings and you get excited, and you might throw a word out there that doesn't necessarily need to be thrown out. And Chris is a very, very religious man. I've never heard him cuss once, and he's probably got one of the most difficult jobs in construction, and that's as a superintendent. If there's anybody that would start losing their temperature and cussing, I think the superintendent might be that person, but he doesn't. And so every time I'm around him, it's amazing when I see him, or when I think about him, I'm going to say something I don't mean to say. I think of Chris, and it makes me hopefully watch my mouth a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten better. If I can replace one word a day that I would normally curse and catch myself and say, darn it, then the momentum will start building that way. That's how I look at it, and it might be the rest of my lifetime science project.
That's it. But if you're not working on something,
it's a vision. They say the vision never completely happens.
Yep.
Where do you want to be in the success?
Well, it's just like perfection is impossible to attain. We're just working towards it.
That's it.
I think that's cool.
So humble up, boy.
That's
now, what do you think about Frank's story down in Mobile?
I think it's cool. And if you missed it, go back. We talked about a Jubilee in that area, which is a really cool phenomenon. Talked about Fairhope, Mobile area, which is beautiful, beautiful part of the country. But, I mean, starting on the ship business, I mean, it's just a really unique situation. I couldn't imagine, after World War II, how many businesses had that situation where they were just blowing and going for the war, trying to win the war. The nation was all together trying to win, and then it's over. And everybody has to find something else to do. I mean, I'm sure that just had to be a really unique time.
Talk about hiccups. I mean, like COVID year, recession in 2009. Talking about pivoting. You think they were saying the word pivot? We got to pivot.
Yeah. I mean, your business is basically to survive as a nation. I mean, think about that.
That's cool. But I'm sure very hard.
Very hard.
And very scary.
And it's like, I mean,
God bless, we haven't.
Oh, goodness gracious.
In our life,
right,
up to this point, been in wartime. Hopefully we can continue that and allow everybody to live and be free.
Yep, correct.
Here in America. God bless the USA. We hope you had a great Christmas. Thank you for listening to us in 2020. Let's make 2021 a great year. Let's go, Cats. Do the golden rule today. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Smile a lot, love a lot, hug a lot. Share it, baby. You're listening to At Home with Robie.